Nothing like a good day off of work. Relaxing in your comfy chair with a nice cup of coffee. Not having to hear the whine of children screaming, "Mommy, do they have K-pop hunters? Mommy, I got my slime candy on the DVD and I won't play. Wah, wah." Ugh. I tell ya, I really hate children wrecking my precious movies with their dirty little slime-covered hands. At least today, I can just relax and not have to worry about bringing the lost art of cinema and television back to the wasteland and their dumb offspring.
Don't be so sure, Day.
What the hell is that?
A video man's work is never done, and neither is yours.
Jenna, what are you doing here? How did you get into my office? Why are you dressed like the ghost of Christmas Future?
Silly video man. Did you think you were done with your quest? You still have more leaps to do.
More leaps? What does that mean?
Did you think just because you were able to get out of the simulator room that your job reviewing Quantum Leap episodes was done? You still have 96 episodes left to watch.
96 episodes? Are you kidding me? Wait, what's happening? Oh no, not again! Not again!
Theorizing that one could review enough movies and shows to resurrect the art form, video store manager David Snyder stepped into the Hilton Star Trek simulator and vanished. He awoke to find himself trapped in the past, reviewing movies and shows that he'd never seen, and driven by an unknown force to bring cinema back to the wasteland. His only guide on this journey is Janna, an observer from his own time, who appears in the form of a hologram that only Dave can see and hear. And so David Snyder finds himself leaping from show to show, striving to review what once went wrong, and hoping each time that his next review will be for Avatar 3.
Quantum Leap may be based on a science fiction gimmick, but all of the stories are from the heart. For the holidays, the show will borrow a page from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Sam leaps into a valet's life to change the heartless ways of his Scrooge-like boss.
Marking.
Mr. Blake is unavailable right now.
Mr. Blake is never available. Mr. Blake hasn't been available for the last 18 months. He returns all my mail, and I am not going to let him tear down the 4th Street mission.
I'm sure that he has no intention of demolishing the mission.
We Scrooge him, basically. We take him back to his old neighborhood. We show him his pictures from his family and all that, and try and soften this guy up.
To become the ghost of Christmas Future, the normally invisible Albert will be seen by this Scrooge, a callous land developer played by Charles Rocket.
Action.
He actually saw you.
Did he call me a jerk?
He didn't listen, though.
We use this aberration or anomaly, whatever it is, to our advantage at the end of the show, so that we enable him to see me again, and I convince him that I'm a ghost and scare him into changing his ways.
Now in its third season, Quantum Leap has a loyal following, including fan clubs with their own newsletter.
All right, let's do this. Janna, are you there? Mike, what about you? Did you come along for this adventure too?
Of course we did, Dave.
And boy, do we have a leap for you.
A Christmas-themed leap, just in time for the season.
All right. Let's get this over with. What are we talking about here? A Scrooge-type story, I'm assuming?
You got it, Dave. The episode this time is from Season 3, Episode 10, entitled A Little Miracle. Ah, isn't that nice?
The plot synopsis, Janna.
Oh, right, sorry. The episode takes place on December 24th, 1962, Christmas Eve, and it involves Sam and Al pulling a Christmas carol on a rich businessman who's trying to tear down a mission so he can build some ugly high rise. Blech! The episode features the third character and first male that are able to see Al.
Interesting. You could drop the voice, by the way, Jenna.
I was wondering. I was like,
I think it was great.
You want me to keep doing it?
I appreciate the extra ambiance, but to that point, that's an interesting point, because up to this point, so we're in season three. I'm Dave, by the way. If anyone's listening to this somehow in the wasteland, I'm your host. I'm joined again by my holographic mates here, Jana.
I don't have a quote. I'm the ghost of Christmas future.
Not having a quote. That is so you, Jana.
You're gonna die, Michael.
Your quote, please.
Hey, what's a big shot like you doing down here in the jungle?
Michael, I know you're a hologram, but will you be able to help me pour that talcum powder into my underwear for me?
No. No, I will not.
Okay, just checking. Well, to get back to what Jana was mentioning earlier, so one of the things in this episode, which is one of the funnest things, but also kind of like you raise an eyebrow. So up to this point, we're in season three of Quantum Leap, and it's been fairly established that Al can only be seen by children and animals. Yet for this episode, I guess they give some kind of flimsy reason. It's just like, I guess this guy is tuned into your brainwaves, Sam. That's why he could see me.
Is that what they said? I completely missed any explanation at all.
How could Blake see you?
Well, Ziggy says it was just a weird fluke.
What kind of a fluke?
Well, apparently his neurons and mesons are on a frequency close to yours, so I'm going to get Ziggy to shift my image a little bit, and then only you'll be able to receive me. It's kind of like tuning a radio there. Now, that should clear things up.
It is so hand-wavy, yeah.
It can be hand-wavy because...
It's Christmas!
This show has done hand... Like, it has established that some sort of deity exists. Mm. So, you know, they can
get
away
with
some...
Which we see later in the episode.
Yeah, they can get away with some things because it's like... They have established that, you know, this is all kind of part of some deity's sort of master plan. So.
And also... If you're going to do a hand-wavy explanation, you do it on the Christmas episode. It's whimsical.
Yeah. I honestly,
or the Halloween episode where somebody might be a vampire.
Yeah, that reminds me. We never got a conclusion to that. That was on the first and last episode we did where he leaps from Dr. Ruth into a vampire. Spoiler alert. I know we're not covering that episode right now, but he wasn't actually a vampire.
No.
Anyway, we're talking about A Little Miracle from Season 3, Episode 10. And I gotta say, guys, this, I think, is a perfect episode for the season.
It's great. I remember the first time I watched it, though, you know, when I rented the DVDs and then I was like, I gotta get Dave to watch this. I was kind of gobsmacked watching it, like, this is literally just Scrooge, huh?
Well, they say it in the episode. I love it. He's like, Al, we'll Scrooge him.
Yes!
I mean, can you believe it's Christmas time? And I don't think he's got a second thought about throwing those people out in the streets.
Well, he's a real Scrooge.
Yeah, we can say that again.
Scrooge.
Al, you're a genius.
I am.
Yes, you are. Absolutely. Michael is Scrooge, right? He's alone. He's miserable. It's like Charles...
Dickens.
Dickens. It's like he created his character based on this guy.
So?
We screwed him.
Oh.
My other quote was like, what was it? It was, we're Scrooge and Blake, right?
It is funny. Like, it's always funny to me when they choose to Swiss cheese Sam's memory. Like, when he begins to say it, he's like, you know, that Charles Dickens guy. What's his name? Charles Dickens?
Well, he's a genius, and as we know, most geniuses do have a little
Swiss cheese memory.
Yes.
Al is a genius?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, actually, he is, but Sam Beckett is the actual, like, super
This genius. Isn't really, like, germane to this episode specifically. I think it's probably, like, the show in general, but it's been a while since I've seen Quantum Leap, and I forgot, like, it is really funny. I know the bit that Al is always, like, hitting his, like, PDA thing or whatever, like, his, like, his little iPhone. But he's going to town on it in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He, every time he's on screen, he's just, like, he's slamming that. I you almost expect to, like, cut to him and he's, like, throwing it against the wall. Like, it's really, it seems to, like, run. That device runs on being punched and slammed around. And
maybe it's like one of those flashlights where you like jiggle it to get it going.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, those batteries.
Yep.
So as you said, this is basically a Christmas Carol. Sam leaps into an old crotchety guy named Blake. He's a rich businessman. It's 1962. It's Christmas Eve. And he wants to tear down the Fifth Street Mission to build a high-rise?
Mission
what?
For our Salvation Army. So
Yeah. They literally have one of those neon signs on the window that says "Jesus saves." You're like, "Oh my God, this guy!"
He's basically Donald Trump. He's like a New York guy who wants to build like a building with his name on it and demolish like some like you know historic thing that's been there for a long time.
Put a bunch of kids out in the streets. He does it, the Christmas tree in his apartment isn't big enough. It's got to be bigger.
Okay.
Bring him
so,
his paper.
And then he specifically wants to get rid of it on like Christmas Eve. He's like, turn the lights off. Get it out of here.
It's because he has everything writing on it, Mike.
Like the tree?
No, on... tearing it down by the end of the year or something.
I thought you were
like
talking about the tree. He's
no,
got everything writing on this tree.
No,
he hates
I was talking about that tree. No, I was talking about his tree. Yeah, no, I was talking about like how he wants to. He wants to tear down the building, but he also specifically wanted to get rid of his Christmas tree, like on Christmas Eve.
The tree is a close second to him wanting to tear down the Salvation Army.
So here's the thing.
He wants to tear down the tree and put down a bigger tree with his name on it. Yeah.
And then he wants to tear down the big tree. So because you mentioned it, I did. Get a little confused at first. Dave, when you were in the bathroom, I couldn't remember which episode. I was able to watch a whole nother episode because...
I had to start from the beginning because I was gone so long. You guys watched the whole episode and I had to come back.
Well, I was confused as to which one we were supposed to watch. So I watched a whole other episode while you were in the bathroom before we started the right one. And... it's the one that's like, It's a Wonderful Leap. So I thought that was the Christmas one. And it has
title of the episode?
That's the title. And it has little Donald Trump in it.
Wow. Oh, I remember this one. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's a cab driver. And so he has a fare with like this.
Wait, like
older
literally
guy.
Like he has a cameo?
No, it's a child. No. So he has a fare with this older gentleman and a little boy. And he's talking to the little boy and he's like... oh, yeah, there's going to be big towers here someday. And he's like, and the little kid's like, oh, yeah, like what? And then he's like, well, like a really big
one. Can I put
my
name on him?
Yeah, and then the dude who opens the door says to the dad, like, welcome, Mr. Trump, or whatever.
Oh, my God.
So ingrained in the zeitgeist, like it's crazy.
Well, and even the little Donald Trump was a little shit too. He's like, oh, okay. Like he's played as an asshole. The
you
kid.
Could tell he was super greedy.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, since you mentioned it, Mike, they do mention Donald Trump in one of the episodes.
But this guy is a little, he comes from humble beginnings, this guy, Blake. It's one of the things they Scrooge him with. Like, Sam happens to find some pictures in the guy's closet, and he's looking through, and he's like, he changed his name. It used to be Kowalski or Bukowski or something like that.
He
grew up from
humble
beginnings.
He used to be ethnic.
Basically, that's what the show is suggesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's so that they can have the Polish cookies later.
Yeah, they appeal to us. One thing I like about this episode, so they quickly, it doesn't take Sam long to be like, let's Scrooge him. You know what I mean? This is the Christmas episode, right? It's releasing on December 20th. Okay, let's Scrooge the guy.
I mean, isn't it kind of like, because Sam, he's there and he's like his butler. And so the first like few minutes of the show is like him getting used to being a butler.
And what an opening to this episode. It opens
this opened like one of your scripts,
the guy's
Dave.
Naked legs.
Looking at his dong.
The literal opening is like talcum powdering his underwear to put, and he's like kneeling in front of this guy.
And the guy's just looking down like, well.
I'm waiting.
And I gotta say, they give Sam's character the perfect butler name for a rich guy to yell about, like Pearson. You know,
it's so there's a really funny part early on too when he, like, you know, it's the moment where he looks in the mirror and he sees who he is, and I feel like the way who he looks like, the way he plays it, it's like, oh, I'm dumpy. Like
that. It is.
He
like
says
that.
It. He's like, I'm a 200 pound fat guy. Oh, or something like that.
Oh, I'm kind of a loser.
Ow, I have a porn stash.
Wait, does he really? I missed that.
No, he has a mustache. I don't think I would call it a porn stash, though.
Well, you just did, Dave. You just did. <call it.
laughs> But yeah, I like that they don't waste any time. They're like, we quickly are like, we're doing a Christmas carol. We're going to Scrooge this guy. What I think is fun, though, I misremembered this because I've seen this episode before. I misremembered that. Sam doesn't immediately go to Al and be like, Al, use your future powers and your future PDA to you know, turn yourself into the Ghost of Christmas Future because the guy could see you. No, he doesn't do that immediately. He goes to the people at the Salvation Army and he concocts this plan. Like, guys, you've seen Christmas Carol, right? You've read the famous story by Charles Dickens. Let's Scrooge this guy. It will save your mission. And they all get in on it. They're just... like, and we didn't mention the person he's kind of conspiring with is named, she goes by Captain Downey. That's like her role at this mission. But she's this young woman. She's trying to save the mission. She comes up in the beginning of the episode with like this whole like marching band thing.
She's a whole marching band for
with the Salvation. And I got to hand it to Downey. She knows how to annoy people. The power of annoyance. Because like, da 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 da, you know.
Excuse me, Captain Downey?
I'm here to see Mr. Blake.
Well, I'm sorry, but Mr. Blake is unavailable right now.
I bet he'd change his mind if he saw her.
Mr. Blake is never available. Mr. Blake hasn't been available for the last 18 months. He returns all my mail, and I am not going to let him tear down the 4th Street mission, now or ever. And I'm here to tell him that to his face.
Well, I'm sure that Mr. Blake has no intention of demolishing the mission.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, Mr. Blake, this is Captain Downey from the Salvation Army.
Yes, I can hear that, Pearson. Quiet!
And this is how we find out kind of what the stakes are, because right now Scott Bakula is just butlering or Sam Beckett.
Bringing
right.
the guy his paper.
He's just butlering, and then, they're like, someone's at the door, like, and the Scrooge guy's like, well, make them leave, get them to go away. And so Sam goes down, and that's when we see, like, it's the Salvation Army who are all, like, pleading with him, like, Mr. Evil Guy, please don't tear down the mission. You're going to build your dumb building and tear down the mission, and we're going to lose everybody. And yeah, so that's like, the episode, the moment that sets everything up.
Yeah. It also sets up the moment where Blake can see Al, because Al's like, oh, you Grinch, or something like that. And he's like, what did you say to me?
It's not my job to save the world.
God forbid. That'd mean you cared about people.
Sir, maybe you could find a way to accommodate both your needs.
Pearson, you're way out of line here.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I think you should worry about your job and let me worry about mine.
Which is being a grouch.
What did you say? Well?
Who are you talking to, sir?
I'm talking to this jerk right here. Well, where did he go?
Yeah, it sets up that for plot reasons, he can see Al. And it does set up that the woman who's leading the Salvation Army mission is attractive.
A babe.
Yeah, a babe.
They do the crazy movie TV thing where he's like, or the guy's like looking somewhere and he's like, ba ba ba, and then he turns his head,
he starts yelling at an old man who he thinks is the leader. He's like, go away, get out of here. And then it's like, actually, I'm the leader. And it's like, girl?
You're captain? I was kind of surprised they didn't have like a little jingle play there.
Yeah, we skipped over the other, there's a second sycophant. Man.
Oh, yeah. Well, he kind of disappears after the first bit of the episode.
We don't know what the hell he is.
Yes, sir, Mr. Blake. You're right. Right away.
Yeah.
What is he?
A guy.
Yeah, he's a sycophant. He's a sycophant friend. He's probably like a VP, a vice president at like this guy's company, who's just trying to hang out with him and like weasel his way higher up the chain.
Which is very funny because we do see a tiny bit of Pierce. I mean, they do a good job. Not Pearson, the bad guy. They do a good job setting him up to just be a real piece of shit. But he does allow, a couple of times, he allows Pearson, Sam, as Pearson, to sass him. And like,
I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
It I was honestly fire thinking, him. Like, I was on, well, I had that going through my mind because several times he's insubordinate to this guy. And I'm thinking, like, is Pearson just thinking, like, well, I can't fire him now because I'll never be able to get a replacement on Christmas Eve, you know? just, and I need someone to put talca powder in my undies.
I can't do it myself. He has worked with him for 3 years. He said that he's worked with him for 3 years. So I think giving him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt just to help along, you know, his transition to being a not completely terrible cunt is
also, well, also Pearson has the Blake files, so you can't let you got to keep a close eye on Pearson.
True. And it's the English cunt, so you can leave it in.
You can leave it in. Normally we edit this out. Yeah. We know you peek behind the curtain. You don't know how many times we have to edit out Jana saying the C word.
I think he's doing it. I think he does value loyalty in, to some respect. Because he also, when he meets the guy that Mike did the quote from, he immediately is like, oh, yeah, my guy, my childhood friend, you know.
I think there's also, too, like, I think maybe I'm reading into it, but I got from that scene specifically, the one we were talking about where the Salvation Army comes and the sycophants bunny in and Sam is talking. I think that this Scrooge guy values I think he is aware that this other guy is a sycophant. Mm-hmm. And I think he values to some extent that Sam Beckett, Butler's character, is willing to like challenge him a bit and like call him on stuff. Yeah. Like, I think he does. While he's annoyed by it, I think he does sense some value in that, and that's why he's
actually,
maybe keeping
around. I think at some point in the future, Russia will actually be our allies. It could happen.
Yeah,
really, Pearson.
For like a few years, and then they're not again.
Wait, I'll are just they shut not up, our allies right now? I get so confused in the
No.
list.
Well, I don't really know.
My allies are the Terra people. So.
I don't know if Russia exists anymore.
Well, Romania does, but it's in space. So maybe
right,
Russia
space Romania is pretty, it's pretty big.
Netflix bought Russia years back.
Right, that's right. Yeah, yes. You're right. You're right. Yep. They did. Yeah. Yep.
They bought up all the land.
Yep.
Anyway. I don't know. I don't remember if that deal went through or not. I think that's what happened.
Well, you're the businessman, Dave. You're the one that reads the paper every day.
Well, that led to the big Netflix Tubi war, which I think lasted like 10 years.
That was the real streaming wars, Netflix versus Tubi.
Devastated.
Dave took it to the bank because people were renting videos left and right since the streaming was
shut down. Yeah.
Anywho, well, let's get back to the episode here. So, as I said earlier, Sam immediately conspires with Downey and the rest of the people in the Salvation Army, and presumably a handful of people in the neighborhood, Blake's old neighborhood. He's like, "Hey, let's go for a drive, Mr. Blake, or whatever." And he fakes getting a flat tire, and I guess
someone lets the air out.
He's like, yep, we got a flat tire, Mr. Blake. Oh, what you know? We're in your old neighborhood.
So did you take that as conspiring or just like they did get like robbed or they were attempted to be robbed in that neighborhood?
No, they were letting air out. I think they had conspired.
Okay.
It was a little kid.
And then you get some kids run by and then and then they run into Downey and then Downey pretends like she didn't see the kids.
Yeah.
Which was a nice touch.
Mystical,
but I gotta
mystical
say.
Mystical kids.
I gotta say. I don't think they were in cahoots with the chestnut vendor, like Blake's childhood friend.
Because
this guy blows the whole thing. He's just like, oh, yeah, our old friend Mike or whoever, yeah, your business killed him. He lost his job and he died. You killed the guy.
You mean you don't know?
What, Max? No, no what?
Charlie was killed. Yeah, about 4 years ago.
How?
He got drunk.
damn fool jumped out in front of a bus. Yeah, he'd been in pretty bad shape since he lost his job at Henderson's.
The bakery.
Yeah, he got laid off when they automated. Couldn't find another job, went on his skids. What a shame.
He doesn't blow it. That's the beginning of the end, Dave.
It's great, like, because they drop early on, like, in some toss-away line, the Scrooge guy, Blake, is like, yeah, I made my fortune once I automated the bakery, which is a really funny, like...
Which I just imagined, like, a Pee-wee's Big Adventure style, like, you know, assembly line.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what you guys thought that meant.
it is funny, but it's like, so, like... Watching it now, I'm just thinking that it's like, oh, we replaced him with AI or whatever. It's just, I'm just thinking this whole time watching this episode, like, how do we end up with the world we had when, like, this was like the bad guy? Like, this was obviously the bad guy. And everything that the bad guy is now,
Well, I think not to get real here, but I think it's because people got dumber, honestly. I mean, I'm not joking. People just got dumber.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
we're not sure how the apocalypse happened, right?
No.
The lore has been lost.
It does have something to do with Last Jedi.
Yeah, I know. It started with Last Jedi. I don't remember where it went from there, but...
records
are spotty from that era.
This guy who's like the most New York guy who has ever lived, he's like the vendor, is like, yeah, you hear what happened to old Mike? Oh, yeah, he died on account of the automated bakery. What made him lose his job?
He didn't just die. Did they say that he killed himself?
He got drunk. No, I think it was like...
Oh, he jumped in front of a truck, he says.
Right, yeah. But I think it's like... a mix of like he was just washed up, like he was an alcoholic after he lost the bakery
job. I firmly believe that the automatic bakery pushed him in front of the truck.
Yeah, they're like, he couldn't get a job after he lost it in the automated bakery, and he kept drinking, and then one night he was just so drunk he jumped in front of a bullet train. I don't know.
Anyway, how you been?
Anyway, it's so funny. Is like, after he says that, Blake is like,
did I say something wrong?
Yeah, Blake is like, oh my god, and he's like, what? I say something wrong? Whoa!
Which again, I'm just like, did you guys not factor for this old friend selling chestnuts? He blew the whole operation.
But he was so cute. Hey, did you see that he had two like wonky eyes? He was so adorable.
I did see that. Which again, it made me wonder, like, because until he basically blows it, I was wondering if this guy was in on it, and if they asked him, like, can you do like a cross-eyed thing that would really help sell this whole thing we're doing here?
So cute. I love seeing actors.
Can you rub some filth on your face to really help to sell this whole thing?
Yeah, if he was faking, it was a hell of an acting job. But if it was real, I love seeing actors who are like a little bit different, you know, getting
real people. Like they don't all look like Instagram models, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Like there's that really big bald guy whose eyes like move a lot.
I don't think this guy looks like you, Dave, at all, but I did find this performance like very Dave coded. Like if you were playing someone in this episode, I feel like this would be the guy.
He's a business owner.
You didn't think of me when Al was like, deck the halls with Al and BB.
I mean, I guess you are always very Al adjacent for sure.
That, I gotta say, that line when he follows the maid into the closet, that's like peak Al.
I mean, Dave, you would follow that maid into the closet too. Everybody would follow that maid.
If I was a hologram, yeah, probably.
It's very funny because this watch, I was watching Blake. And as she leans over to pour his coffee, he's literally staring directly at her tits.
Alice?
Directly.
You like pause and rewind. Like, you
know, like, he like sticks his head through her body and then he goes through.
I had to pause and rewind because the first time I was looking directly at her tits.
Looking at it like the Zapruder film.
Yeah. So then I pause and rewind. I was like, okay, now where's Blake? Where is everybody in this scene looking?
But this actually ends up being good because it gets Blake like drunk, like he's going through the three stages of Scrooge. You know what I mean? The Christmas Carol. He's got to see the past and he's got to see how it affected him and how his actions affected others. And then do they do Christmas Present? I guess
they do.
Right?
They definitely do. They say like we got to do Christmas Present. They do it up as much as the rest of them. That's when they go to the where Sam has the thing of like, I'll play a game with you. What do you like? It was basically like, I don't think you're happy, and I'll prove to you that you're not.
Oh, there
happy.
Is a great line here that is so potent. He's just like, what are you talking about, Pearson? I'm the embodiment of the American dream. And Sam's like, and you're miserable.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Get that tattooed.
And they do. Yeah, and you're miserable. They go to the building that is going to be Blake Plaza, and they're like, Sam's like, put your hand on it, and like, what do you feel? It's like cold, like nothing. Like, yeah, that's your legacy is nothing and cold.
Because you
like,
have no soul.
Yeah, this gives no, and then
this is the point. This is the point in the episode where Sam like really steps over the line, and the guy finally like pushes up on him. Like, what are you doing, Pearson? You son of a bitch.
Well,
you
know, we also we should
stepping.
We should say like during this whole scene, especially the Christmas present scene. Blake, the Scrooge guy, is like. He's like pretty drunk. Like they're playing it like he's drunk. Like he's been drinking in like the middle of the day. And like I think that's why he's like going along with this is because he's like a little all right, let's go do the thing. Yeah.
You want me to put my hand on a wall? All right, let's go.
Yeah, and they make a bet for like 1 month of rent, which they say is a year of 1 month of rent at Blake's apartment. Which, by the way. The way they set this up, like with just the shots, are they implying his apartment is in 30 Rock, like Rockefeller Center? That all the establishing shots for his apartment are the front of 30 Rock, which I'm wondering, like back then, were they thinking like the average TV viewer doesn't know what 30 Rock is, and they're just seeing wow, this is just a fancy courtyard. Like meanwhile, in 30 Rock, which I don't think has any like, I think it's all commercial space there. Like, I don't think there's apartments in 30 Rock.
That's how successful this guy is, Mike.
Yeah, he lives above, like, SNL.
Build him an apartment.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, so he's, like, he's just, like, very animated, very sloshed around. As he's, like, he's
TV
brooding,
acting.
Just drinking brandy in front of the window, like, all
day.
Well,
yeah, because this is after the chestnut guy, and then the Ghosts of Christmas Past was the chestnut guy, and then you alluded to it earlier, Dave, but she pretends not to see the children, so the children are playing when they get the tire popped. The children are playing like where he used to play, and so it's conjuring up memories of his childhood. And then when they run past them, and he's like, who are those kids? And she's like, what kids? So that was the past.
Then they go. Then Sam takes them to the mission. They go inside, and they're all singing Christmas carols, and they offer him up like an old Polish.
And this is where they think they have it.
Snack or something.
They think that like because he sees the girl again, and he starts like being like, you know what? Maybe I was a little too unkind to you. I didn't realize you were a babe.
Yeah, that you gotta wonder. That's one thing. Did Sam like talk to Downey? Like, oh, and by the way, you may have to marry the guy. I hope that's okay.
Listen, man, I was watching this thinking like, some rich guy wants to marry me. Hell yeah, I'll marry him. And then you can say you can like do so much with that money.
Yeah, but would you be willing to apply talcum powder to his underwear, Jana?
That's what Pearson's for.
You only got to do it for a few years, and then you can get out, get some separation money.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly.
Mm. Like the Bezos wife. I forget her name. But
and
you know.
She, doesn't she give away a ton of money? That's exactly
Away all of it, yeah.
Yeah. In the earth it was.
And what I really like is they seem to have recruited a Tiny Tim character. Like, I can imagine the casting call. It's like, okay, we're an extra plus if you're missing your front two teeth. That'd be really bonus.
It's so funny when this guy shows up, this little kid. They're like laying it on so thick.
And he has like a three-legged horse figure. He's like, I couldn't get one with four legs.
I don't think he ever does say this, but as soon as he came into frame, I was like, all right, what is he like about to die of? Like, what is it?
Syphilis. Did you guys?
Syphilis.
I meant polio. Did you guys?
Do you know how you get syphilis,
Jana? Very smooth. I meant polio. Anyway.
Did you guys think that he was in on it?
No.
I think so. Because
I don't think he was in on it.
No.
There is a line right before Blake realizes he's being had. There's a moment where the kid's like, what does he say? He's like,
I need him because Santa Claus can't come visit us this year. We don't have a home to live in. Do you have a home?
I underestimated you, Captain. Pretty clever using the kids.
Excuse me?
Don't play dumb. You were trying to make a mark out of me, and I was actually falling for it. But it isn't going to work.
We're not going to have anywhere to live or something.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have somewhere to live, by chance? Am I getting the line right?
Dave, he's not a part of it. He's just a little kid.
They give him a little horse figurine that's missing a leg. Come on.
I think you need to be Scrooge. You need to be reminded that there's kindness.
I thought that's what's
there.
Happening. That's why I'm back in the simulator room here watching more Quantum Leap, which complaining about.
We forgot the little boy, Mike. Damn it.
Wait, yeah, what? Maybe if you had a little boy.
Yeah. I thought I was the pathetic little boy.
See, the problem is you're not missing your front teeth, Mike. That's the thing. Anywho. So Blake figures out he's being had because it's funny too.
He basically like throws the kid at her too.
It's
like,
such a 180. He's like, and they do the great thing that's like a classic Quantum Leap where like Al's like, it's a 94% chance that they get together. Mm. Wait a minute. It's going down fast.
Yeah. And then the door opens and those damn kids come in. They weren't part of this act.
They laid it on too thick. And yeah, he gets upset.
Their food, those fuckers.
And he's you know he does Blake
those
does
little
a total,
cunts.
Blake does a total 180, and he's like, you know, like you guys are disgusting. I blah blah blah. They storm out, and then they build Blake
so
Tower,
crazy,
and that's the end of it.
Because it's like, did he actually think that he was seeing a bunch of ghosts?
Well, and anyway, it's poorly timed. They come in, ruin the whole thing, and then they think it's over. But horny Al to the rescue.
Can we talk about Al's outfit for the ghost?
Oh, and Al's new powers.
So good
for the ghost of future Christmas future.
well,
he basically
it's not Christmas in his time, Mike.
You know what he looks like? I don't know, Jana, if you've seen this movie. I know Dave will get this reference. He looks like someone from like Creepshow in the Leslie Nielsen one where they like are drowned and then he sees the ghosts of the drowned people.
It looks like they applied Spirits Halloween ghost makeup on him.
He looks like he's been fished out of like a riverbed, basically.
Oh, you're talking about that. I thought you were talking about his colorful loud shirt.
where he looks like Mark Harmon from that one movie.
Yeah.
That colorful shirt is great. I kind of want that.
It's great.
But yeah, no, his Ghost of Future thing where he has like a fisherman's... It looks like a fishing hat.
Looks like Old Greg.
Yeah, Old Greg. That does look... That's another good...
Is that some sort of Nickelodeon reference?
No.
My God, Dave.
No, it's a British show, The Mighty, Mighty Boosh.
What did you do before...
Noel Fielding, who went on to be one of the hosts of British Bake Off. It was like his show.
Great. Noel Fielding is...
Yeah, he's a delight.
Amazing. And he would absolutely wear that shirt that...
the first one. Yeah, him.
Yep. He would.
But yeah, so this is where it pays back. We get that brief sequence in there, not even a sequence, just a moment early on where the Blake guy is like, I can see Al. And I was like, why can you see me? And like, well, let's use that to our advantage. This is the reason why he could see him, is the plot reason is like, we need a phantom. Mm-hmm. We need a ghost of Christmas future. So he shows up, Al shows up at this guy's bed and is like, I am the ghost of Christmas future.
Really laying it on thick.
You look kind of like you're doing the Squidward dance there, Mike.
And this, they also use the fact that he's a hologram to their advantage, because the guy like tries to leap at Al and he goes through him. It sells the whole thing.
Yeah, and Sam Pearson pretends he can't see Al.
Yeah.
Just like they pretended they couldn't see the kids in the beginning.
But it's more effective here because he literally went through Al.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But as I said earlier, this is where Al, we get a bit more powers with Al that he's able to do with his PDA thing. They go outside and he's able to project an image of what the Blake Tower high rise will look like to Blake. Big thing with his
name on it. So this is where I... I don't have any qualms with, like, how were they seeing Al or whatever. Like, whatever. Who cares? Hand wavy. This is a bridge too far for me. Like, I'm just... I was thinking of the logistics of this. Like, so he's... Al is using...
So technically, right now, like Sam, he is plugged into this guy's, like, brainwaves.
And he is... he's projecting on a building news footage from a different time. From
that,
like,
he was able to pull from the archives.
Okay, so he pulled from... Okay, wait. So he pulled the... What? How does this work? Like,
well, they say,
how does any of this work?
They've said in previous episodes that Ziggy is able to, like, tap into places like the Department of Defense or the Pentagon, this, that, and the other thing. So it's conceivable that it could pull up old news footage.
Ziggy can basically...
And then you, like, his PDA
it's
thing...
It's the future,
is
Mike.
Also
it's 1999.
A projector onto a building... And he can see Al, and he can also see the projecting video. Like, is Al, like, using this as, like, a little tiny projector to, like, shoot onto the building? Like, how is it getting there?
This is, you know, actually, because I kind of had minor qualms with this. Not really, but minor qualms. But technically, I'm pretty sure before this.
This is all good fun, by the way. I'm not sitting there like, humph. I don't know. It's just funny to think about. Like, what is going on here?
Well, because there's sort of precedent for things like this, I believe, earlier in the series. If I'm not mistaken, there was an episode, I think it was before this one, where it's that episode where Sam is, like, a pool player, and he has to, like, win a game of pool, and Al is able to, like, project, like, a line so that Sam knows where to, like, hit the ball exactly so that it goes into the pocket. So this, I don't think this is the first time something like this has occurred.
But is it the first time something like not only is Al being seen, but, like, he's able to do things that other people can see?
Well, I would think it works the same way, because technically he's plugged into this guy's brainwave, so he'd be able to do the same thing to this guy that he'd be able to do with Sam.
Yeah.
Presumably.
Okay, yeah. Sure. Why not?
It's hand wave. It's Christmas, Mike. Come on.
And well, thank
later,
God it
literally
worked.
God shows up at the end of this, so, like, what? Why am I...
So it's so funny. So basically, Al
shows up at the end of what?
This episode, God shows up. The light. The light for
the
star.
We'll get to that. But first, let's talk about this news footage that Mike is talking about. It's classic. It's almost as if...
It's so funny.
Specific. It's almost as if they filmed this... Maybe it's not even real footage. Maybe it's... Well, no, they do show footage. They show footage of Blake leaving, and he's wearing the worst old age wig I have
horrible.
Ever
it's
seen.
It's so bad.
Show me more, Ghost. Show me what else happens to me.
Okay, you asked for it.
Good evening, New York. Here now the news for December 24th, 1975. With interest rates rising, many commercial real estate investors find themselves without tenants and unable to meet mortgage commitments. One of New York's most powerful land barons, developer Michael Blake, announced today he had filed for bankruptcy.
No! Now that's impossible!
It gets better.
Blake appeared despondent as he left the courthouse today.
Blake, over here.
Mr. Blake, is this the end of the Blake Empire?
I've made some mistakes, but I'll be back.
Analysts say that Blake, once considered a brilliant corporate raider, was undone by his unbridled greed and uncontrollable lust for power. And in sports, the New York Knicks have done it again.
What have they done to me? You did it yourself. You wanted it all. So you borrowed and leveraged until in the end you had nothing. Nada. Zero. Zilch. Zip.
It's so funny too, because the episode is supposed to be 1962.
Yeah.
And the footage they're showing is 1975, 13 years later. He looks like he's like, in this episode, 90. He looks like he's like in his early 40s probably. And then 13 years later, he looks like he's like 75. Like he is so old.
Stress.
Terrible. And basically Al tells him, like, you kill yourself. You take a jump off the building.
Yeah, he goes bankrupt. And then there's a funny
you
detail.
You borrowed from everyone.
This very, like, the time Quantum Leap was made. It made me, because, like, what, 90, early 90s? Just the little bit of, like, what about my name? Like, is my name still on the tower? Like,
Sumito
Corp. Yeah, it's Sumito Corp. Like, it's like, it's a Japanese company. You know, it's like that very late 80s, early 90s thing where everyone's afraid Japanese companies are going to buy out all the American companies. I was thinking of Nakatomi Plaza in Die Hard,
Die Hard, yeah.
Sumito Plaza. It's like, yeah, it's renamed Sumito Plaza. And then Alan Rickman shows up and shuts the building down. And Bruce Willis blows up,
but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing, yeah. Did you guys see, there's some like sad behind the scenes that's like, this is the time I wanted to bring it up.
That.
Did you see, Janice, so Dave saw this. The guy, William Blake, the actor, Michael.
Charles something?
Charles Rocket. That's a wild name.
That's a cool name.
Charles Rocket. He did commit suicide. Yeah. That was.
After this episode?
Not like, I mean, right. Obviously. No, like significantly later. Unrelated to the episode.
Wow.
But yeah, that's kind of wild. That was just like one of the few things I saw in the like trivia for this episode. Yeah,
bit of a bummer
insane.
There.
So they do do something different in this episode than they do in Scrooged, which is where in Scrooged and in the original, you know, Christmas carols, Scrooge kind of changes his mind and gets the Christmas spirit because he doesn't want Tiny Tim to die.
Kids are dying.
Blake,
he doesn't
want to
die
because he doesn't want to become bankrupt.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it is. It is kind of like at the end. It's like, oh, I guess this was a poor financial investment. I shouldn't have gone all in on real estate. Maybe because that's why he goes bankrupt. Right, is they're like the real estate crash of the 70s, and Al's like, you've over leveraged. Oh, which is very different than like Tiny Tim's dead. Oh no.
Yes.
Here's the Cratchits and their sad Christmas.
I mean, this is from the 80s, right?
It's like early 90s at this point.
Okay. So yeah, like big capitalism time period of like, oh God, I don't have any money. I can't live in that future.
But I think the difference here is, like, as opposed to Christmas Carol, where it's just like, I got to change my ways because it's hurting someone else.
Right.
This guy is like, it's hurting me.
I get to marry the babe. Whereas in Scrooge, okay, so he gets the girl in Scrooge, which is another reason why this is, very close to Scrooge rather than original Christmas Carol.
I've never seen Scrooge.
Christmas Carol, he doesn't get a girl.
I want to see Scrooged. I never have.
It'd be a fun episode at some point in the future.
Mike. It's very good.
The Richard Donner movie.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway,
Donner?
Yeah. So,
like what? the reindeer.
Donner, I hardly knew her.
Anyway, so Blake changes his ways. He immediately goes in. He's like, I forget what he says to Downey, Captain Downey. He's just like, will you marry me? I don't know. Whatever he does, he's basically just like, so I've repented. Will you take me in? He's like, sure.
Mr. Blake, what a nice surprise.
Do you have room for one more lost soul?
Of course.
He basically says, do you
I don't
have
want to die
room
alone.
For one more at the end?
Yeah.
He says, do you have room for one more lost soul?
You know what else he loves? Yeah. So he doesn't want bankruptcy. He doesn't want to die by suicide. And this guy loves some Christmas carols. Like, anytime there are Christmas carols going on, it does seem like he's got like a wooga eyes for Christmas carols.
Oh,
you
God.
Guys singing Joy to the World?
Is that Carol of the Bells? Oh my God.
Because
That's
they're plugging
so cute.
Into something from his childhood.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, he's like, he's suckered in every time they're doing these Christmas carols.
If only
That's
they knew,
adorable.
They just had to lay on
the
singing.
I didn't notice that. That's so cute.
But it is fun. So you get that moment of every Quantum Leap episode where Sam asks Al, what happens to him, Al? He's like, oh, they do great. He marries her. After 6 months, they have a bunch of kids. And then he's like, so he doesn't open the high, or he doesn't tear down the orphanage, right? Or whatever. And he's just like, no, he still builds the plaza, but he puts the mission on the first floor. Which is kind of odd. So what's going on above the first floor of this mission?
It's all very odd.
Is it presumably like, we got SNL up there. I know Conan films up there too.
It's just commercial. It's just office buildings, you know?
Yeah, it's all. I mean, they had to get it done in less than an hour, so.
But we didn't mention. Well, I guess we kind of did. So one of the other things, like kind of the key thing that cinches it, is that right after they show the news footage of the guy committing suicide or whatever, a star appears and it shoots a beam of light down to the Salvation Army, and that's kind of the thing. Where Blake's just like, I don't want to die. I don't want to commit suicide. I'm going to marry that woman, and I'm going to open the mission on the first floor of the plaza.
Yeah, and they did. Sam does the good thing where he's like, Al, that star was a nice touch. And I was like, I didn't do that.
Wasn't me.
This episode really is like, it made me realize like how religious this show is. Like, even in the opening narration, they're like, Sam, guided by an unknown force. Like, yeah. You know, it's God. Mm-hmm. And this, like, the star thing, it's very overtly like, oh, God is...
I mean, I'm going to spoil something, Mike. Do you want me to spoil the end of the show?
No.
You're not just spoiling it for Mike if you say it on the podcast.
All right, I won't say
it. Don't spoil it, because we might see it sometime.
But anyway, well, we got, after this, I guess we got 95 episodes to go, eh, Jim?
We don't have to watch all of them before watching that. We could watch the last one.
We could jump around at any time.
We can leap around.
Yeah, it's a great moment. I like the whimsy here. It's a Christmas episode. What do you want?
Yeah, I'm not mad at it.
You get snow come down like right at the end as the light's beaming down. And I love that moment that Sam and Al share where they're like, I guess it is kind of God that's doing all this, right? That would make sense, right?
It has to be some sort of deity figure. Otherwise... Yeah.
It's definitely like meant to be God. 100%. Yeah. That's what this show is
going for. But it's a nice moment. The snow's coming down and they look at each other. Merry Christmas, Al. Merry Christmas, Sam. And he leaps and it's great.
And what does he leap? He leaps into, I almost like wanted to watch the
Hugh
next
Hefner.
Episode.
You should watch them, Mike. They're so good.
I've seen some leap, but I like specifically, I was like, the it's a good, like,
is that your shorthand for the show? Hey, you watching Leap?
Watching Leap?
I would catch a leap.
I like, it's a good thing with the way the show does like the leap at the end, because it does make you want to watch the next one.
Yeah. I was thinking that.
What does he leap into?
He leaps into like a guy who's like dressed like he's like on like a yacht or something.
Oh,
and
yes.
There's like a woman comes out of a room like in a huff and is like makes out with him and then like slaps him and is like, why are you here?
In a wedding dress.
Oh, so, boy.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe why did you come here? And he's like, oh.
Yeah. That one's pretty good. Boy. So I will touch on real quick, just because we've been talking about the God thing and the star and stuff. The one that I accidentally watched while you were in the bathroom, Dave, was the one.
The whole episode of Quantum Leap I accidentally watched while you were in the bathroom.
I'm getting over some digestive issues, you know.
That's what happens when all you eat is taco.
Well, it takes Dave a long time to put on the talcum powder.
Michael, I told you not to say anything.
So in that one, he's a cab driver, and there's literally an angel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. A character is literally an angel.
She's literally an angel, so.
I can't remember. Is the suggestion that she is like a fellow leaper, sort of?
No, she's an angel. She's
just
an
a flat-out
angel.
Hey, I mean, that captain was kind of an angel, am I right?
There are episodes with other leapers, though, Dave, like you said.
There's other leapers.
Spoiler alert.
One of them is an evil.
There's an evil leaper?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, is he being, is Sam, he's being leaped around by God, but is this other guy being leaped around by the devil?
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
You just sold a ticket, Janet. Well, not really a ticket. Someone's going to be tuning in next week.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you have one, it stands to reason you have the other.
Always two there are, a good leaper and a bad leaper.
Oh, yeah.
You must bring balance to the leap.
I think the evil leaper is actually a chick, right, Dave?
Yeah, yeah.
Always two there are.
That'll definitely be a... Well, why are you talking like that, Al? Oh. Well, anyway, let's get into recommendations. Mike, we'll start with you. I'm assuming this is your first time watching. Would you recommend A Little Miracle?
Yes, I would. I think it's a great Christmas episode of a show, and you don't... don't need much context. You could just watch this episode. Yeah. And I mean, I didn't have much context. So
well, that's what's so great about Quantum Leap and kind of, in a way, shows from this era where they the opening theme song, here is everything about this show
it tells
is.
You. Everything.
Any questions? Yeah. No? All right, cool. You know,
it's which, almost like the viewer can leap into any
episode. But we didn't mention this. On the first episode we did last time, we mentioned it was a season 5 episode, and in season 5 they inexplicably decided to change the theme song.
Oh yeah,
we're
we got
watching
the good
season
theme song,
3.
Yeah.
We get the classic theme song, and I love it.
I love the classic. The classic one is the best.
Has it been stuck in your head like last time, Jen?
No, it wouldn't now. I've had K-pop Demon Hunter stuck in my head. I was one of the kids. I was like, Mom, where's K-pop Demon Hunter?
Well, I guess I don't have to ask. Jana, would you recommend A Little Miracle?
I do recommend, and actually I'll make a broader term. I recommend on holidays that you watch episodes of TV shows that line up with that holiday. And I'll put a little plug in here for the Chadulu. Chadulu is doing a thing where it has TV shows. And it has, like, the Christmas episodes of those TV shows. And so you can play through them all. I did Bob's Burgers. And
I was going to say Bob's Burgers is like a classic any holiday you're looking for. Bob's Burgers has like a million. Like they do every holiday. They'll do a theme.
How's
for
the Columbus Day episode?
Problematic.
Problematic, Dave.
I wouldn't have it any other way, Mike. Well, needless to say,
besides
I would also recommend.
Besides The Sopranos, nobody else in the world sees Christopher Columbus as a hero anymore.
Well, yeah, needless to say, I too would recommend A Little Miracle. I was going to say, I'd recommend it if you like whimsy. I wanted to point this out. So as Mike and I were looking at the ChadDB trivia, I noticed the featured review on this episode. The featured review is from Hendrick C6. It was posted on July 5th,
I don't like
2022.
I read this.
And he rated
review.
This episode 1 out of 10.
What a piece of S.
Here's the problem. I think like he's watching a Christmas episode in July. He's not in the mood. What are you doing?
I mean, anyway. Al lived a Christmas episode in July.
Al was into it. He was in his summer gear. What's this guy's problem? Anyway, yeah. Hendrick C6 writes, "This is sappy, even for Quantum Leap. The teaching a rich guy at Christmas a lesson about love is tired. They even have a scruffy, toothless Timmy Tim kid. Al shows up in the end and gives the worst acting performance of his career. The shining light scene is hot garbage, too. Oof. Fuck you, Hendrick C6.
This guy's
you know what
like
Hendrick C6
even
is,
like
Jana?
It sounds like he doesn't even like Quantum Leap.
What do you think Hendrick C6 is, Jana?
What do I think it is? Is it Ryan?
What would you call this guy?
Oh, a piece of S?
A piece of S? No, what about a piece of C? This guy's a real C.
He
a real C word.
He is. He's a Grinch cunt.
And on that note, Merry Christmas, Mike. Merry Christmas, Jana. And Merry Christmas to all the cunts out there. We hope you have a good holiday. We got several more winter and holiday themed episodes coming your way.
You know,
this
whole episode, there's been a shining light, probably from God, onto our store here, and I just can't help but notice that light has faded.
I wouldn't say faded. I think it just like turned off. Like
it was like a light switch. Never mind.
I'm allowed to say cunt. We're taking it back.
Taking it back.
We're taking it back. I'm calling a man a cunt. Maybe that's why you don't like it, Mike.
I love it. I love it. I'm just saying God has turned his eye from us.
Well, God turned his eye from the wasteland a long time ago.
Well, it was a great time revisiting Quantum Leap. I can't wait. Oh, guys, I'm leaping. All right, well, we'll see you next time, guys. The next time I'm in the Hilton Star Trek Simulator Room. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Al.
Merry Christmas, Sam.